Melchizedek's blessing. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 6. And then we may look back at Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Genesis 14, 18. This is a marvelous, wondrous scene in Genesis. Abraham is moving toward home after a great victory and is laden with spoil. Suddenly a strange person meets him in the way. He is both a priest and a king, but his lineage none can tell. His descent is hid from our eyes, so that it can be said of him, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Hebrews 7 and verse 3. Thus, by hiding his lineage, he is made a special type of our Lord, who is by eternal generation the co-equal Son of the co-equal Father, God of God, very God of very God. Now that is too deep for our finite mind. We would have to have God's mind to understand God's essence, to have his infinitude in order to understand his nature. From eternity past to eternity to come, our Lord's being is never other than the eternal Son of God. Now Melchizedek is spoken of, first of all, as the king of righteousness. In being king of righteousness, Melchizedek is but a type, for none can claim that title but the Son of God. Since Adam fell, this earth has seen no righteous man apart from the Lord Jesus. So we learn that, first of all, the Lord's kingdom is one of righteousness. Romans 4 and verse 17. His throne is pure white in righteousness. Every statute, decree, ordinance, commandment, precept, reward, and penalty is altogether righteous. He is the king of righteousness. Then the king of peace. Melchizedek's city was Salem, meaning peace. There may have been wars and quarrels outside, but within the gates of Salem, all was peace and quietness. Here again, Melchizedek stands as a type of the Lord Jesus, whose kingdom is a realm of peace. Those who belong to that kingdom have surrendered their arms of rebellion. There is no more enmity. Our Lord has changed the heart of stone into a warm heart of filial love. The delight of his subject is to walk by his side, to listen to his voice, to sing his praise. There is no peace save in Jesus' kingdom of Salem. Thirdly, he was priest of the Most High God. So Melchizedek was consecrated to stand before God and thus to exhibit Christ in his function as priest of his people. Christ is our altar, for only he could bear the load of human transgression. He is also our sacrifice upon the altar. And in this office, he is the Lamb of God to make a full and sufficient sacrifice for sin. But he is also our priest who can draw nigh to God on our behalf and offer his own blood within the veil, before the face of God. Having obtained eternal redemption, He has entered the holiest of all with his own blood. In doing so, he has abolished all our need for other priests, other sacrifices, other altars here on earth. His work below is finished. He, however, lives as our high priest above forever. And there he sits on the right hand of the majesty on high. The voice of his intercession prevails on our behalf. We are blessed because of his prayers. Our offerings of worship, adoration, prayer, praise, thanksgiving, and service are all perfumed with his adorable merit. All are made worthy in his worthiness. Then we look at the food for the believer. Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. At this time, Abraham was returning from battle and was faint and weary. But Melchizedek met him, and the anointed priest refreshed Abraham with bread and wine. Here we see Jesus in figure, our great high priest on high, making provision to renew our wasted strength, to lift up our drooping spirit, to revive our fainting heart. What can this point to but the memorial feast which was left us by our Lord Jesus and which is his provision for his people's needs? The fight of faith is fierce. The journey of life is sometimes long and very arduous. But the Lord has opened his banqueting house along the way and spread his feet. There is no greater refreshment for the saints of God than to come to this feast and feed upon the bread and wine. These are but tokens of what he is in himself. A spiritual feast and food abundant. His own body given, his own blood shed. Jesus is the true Melchizedek and comes forth to meet us in life's way. While we sit at his banqueting table and regale our souls by feasting upon him, we hear him say, what I believe was said to Abraham, blessed be thou of the Most High God. In gratitude for this bounty, the patriarch of old, Abraham, made an offering of the tenth part of all to Melchizedek. When we come to the Lord's remembrance feast, the bread is a whole loaf. The cup is full. The money bag is empty. But then, the bread is eaten, the cup is drunk, and afterwards, in gratitude, the bag is filled with the offerings of his people. Let us not suppose such offerings to be a compulsory obedience to law. They are for believers the expression of their gratitude that through our Lord's redeeming love, they have come within his kingdom and righteousness and peace, bought by precious blood, drawn by melting grace, called by his constraining voice. Now hear the words of Thomas Kelly. The atoning work is done, the victim's blood is shed, and Jesus now has gone his people's cause to plead. He stands in heaven, their great high priest, and bears their name upon his breast. No temple made with hands, his place of service is. In heaven itself he stands, a heavenly priesthood his. In him the shadows of the law are all fulfilled and now withdrawn, And though a while he be hid from the eyes of men, his people look to see their great high priest again. In brightest glory he will come and take his waiting people home. Amen and amen.